Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free 1 month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Did you miss us when we were away? Did you hang our picture on the wall? Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Happy New Year. It's the Football Ramble. Ooh, my name's still Marcus and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And Luke.
All right.
It's good to be back, isn't it, gang?
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely to have the listeners with us.
Two glitter quartz.
In
within a minute, good. Good way to start the year, isn't it?
I thought that was going to slip under the radar. Mm.
That's what he said.
Oh, dear. what was your favourite moment or story from the world of football over the festive time, Jim?
It's not a moment as such. My favourite thing about the festive period, football-wise, was the glut. The just sheer amount of goals.
There was a lot.
So many high-scoring games. Mm. The Chelsea 8 Villa nil, Arsenal beating Newcastle 7-2, 7-3, of course, and it was Reading was 5-2, and there was Norwich, City. Man City was 4-3, Newcastle, Man United was 4-3, it was all over the place. It was because there's so many games, it was like the second half of extra time in like a cup game, but for ages, for everyone. It was brilliant.
Everybody's defenders just got injured. I think that's the problem.
Franz Beckenbauer at the Ballon d'Or was seething. He's just thinking about the Premier League and seething, lack of defence.
Well, I think because other leagues had gone on a Christmas break, maybe the Premier League thought we're going to have to have their share of the goals as well.
Yeah,
it's the only
come
logical,
on, Fraser, show Matt's done it.
Only logical reason. Shame Aston Villa didn't get the memo, eh? Mm-hmm. Pete.
Mine was probably, it was just before Christmas, it was that glorious video of Mario Balotelli and Carlos Tevez trying to wrap some Christmas presents.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Speaking half Spanish, half Italian at each other, and Carlos Tevez at one point going, "This is why people say you're stupid, Mario." And Mario going, "I'm not stupid, it's just really hard." And basically, he took umbrage with the fact that he had the paper on the wrong way, and he was basically saying, "But I'm left-handed, I can't cut it this way." And he's gone, just turn the paper around. He's gone, I can't do it. It was just watching two kids, not very clever kids at that, trying to wrap Christmas presents. Either that or AC Milan's cover of Last Christmas, which was just horrendous. I'll stick it at the end.
Lamb's Last Christmas?
Yeah, they covered it. It's they didn't cover themselves in glory.
Can I just check, did both of these things actually happen? I haven't read
this. Because Tim said recently Balotelli needs to follow his example or something.
That's right.
Or learn from him. I didn't realise
he was
talking about...
Have a 9 month break.
I didn't realise he was talking about presents.
And there was another clip where Balotelli smashed out a party popper in another player's face, which is funny.
Taking over the Joey Barton mantle at Christmas parties.
Good to see someone is.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Excellent. Yeah. That leads us nicely to Luke.
I got a telescope for Christmas.
The world of football.
did you look at a far off football
game?
Yeah.
It means I haven't got a full season for a football game anymore.
Did you turn it the other way around and the long ball didn't seem quite as long?
So I took out the top of the Spinnaker Tower and watched Portsmouth Crawley on Boxing Day. I went to Fratton Park for Portsmouth versus Crawley Town on Boxing Day.
Definitely a highlight.
Character building, I have to say. Probably about 6 to 7 inches of rain in the hour and a half period. Portsmouth got beat, obviously.
Yeah.
Howling wind off the Solent, to the point of where the people I was with and myself actually had a bit of a tantrum at half time and took some seats right at the back in the more expensive area because it had a roof over the top, and basically said to the steward, "I don't care, I'm not paying anymore."
This is like when you go to the cinema and the posh seats are free.
But no one had bought those seats and we were sitting in the soaking rain, so we just went up there and sat there instead.
Good on you.
Do they still do a chicken balti pie at Portsmouth?
They do, yes. And a friend of mine had one. I didn't know because I'd just recovered from food poisoning. I didn't fancy the house.
How old is this Minica Tower?
Not that old. It was supposed to be for the... It was, well, it was initially entitled the Millennium Tower.
Right.
But I think it got opened in about 2004. So they changed it to the Spinnaker Tower, I think.
I've been there a couple of times and I've always enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good.
Well, I should have you back.
Isle of Wight.
I love the fact that El Diego was linked with the Iraq job.
Mm.
Just the fact that, you know, it's a country where it's had obviously a terrible time in war torn and all the rest of it. And the fact that El Diego's thinking, I'm the man.
Yeah, I'm the unifier.
There's already mansions built there. Stripped of it, they're gold, but they could be returned.
Where was his palace? I'm moving in.
Oh, did you see that the Sergio Aguero is split up from Diego's daughter?
Yeah,
I did see that. Trump. Bold move.
Yeah, watch your back, Sergio.
He's going to Italy next, because Diego can't set a foot inside that country.
He'll move to Napoli. He'll be safe.
What do you mean you can't fly back into England because there's a brick of cocaine been found in your possession, Sergio?
Yeah, definitely Italy. Who's got the point? Jim.
Oh, Jim.
I don't even get the points. I was sitting an hour and a half in that rain.
Jim with his goals.
You should have known what would happen.
I should have, yeah. I did know. I've done it loads of times before.
Jim's goal glut. Definitely gets some points. but the FA Cup happened on the weekend, I believe. There were lots of teams involved. It was the third round. Was there a bit of magic? I'm not too sure, but Swansea versus Arsenal was a good game, Jim.
Yeah, it was a good second half.
It was a good second half, yeah. And Arsenal... I was watching it. Arsenal 1-0 down. Well, it was 0-0. Arsenal playing very well. And then just a simple ball over the top. Michu runs through, and it must be very frustrating.
Great control from Michu, though.
Yeah.
You put your house on him scoring.
Yeah, totally. But it's like...
What a substitution. He was on the field for like a minute, wasn't
he? He was, yeah. But Arsenal got the two goals and looked as though they were going to win it. Gibbs scored an absolute peak.
Yeah, it was. It was like Podolski's goal in the Champions League. But it's just absolutely, again, a typical performance from Arsenal. We've been on a bit of a good run, but two draws in a row now. I think that's the really unusual thing about Arsenal at the moment, and I don't even know if this is necessarily a recent thing, is they can have the lion's share of a possession in a game, but not be able to control the game.
Yeah.
Which is really, really strange.
Absolutely.
Particularly when they've just scored a goal. It's very, very odd.
Yeah.
Also, they seem to be as bad at selling players they don't want as they are at keeping players they do want. Mm. Like Shamak, obviously, he's not going to be around much longer.
No,
they haven't been able to sell him. They've sent him on loan to West Ham.
Yeah. Also, Johan Giroud's going out on loan. There's talk of Ignacy Mikel possibly going out on loan as well. And you just wonder if Arsenal are leaving themselves too short, because nobody seems to be on the horizon in terms of coming in. I wonder if they're just gambling a little bit.
Did you see what Shamak said when he moved to West Ham? He said that. I can bring Sam my heading. Which I thought was a nice way of putting it.
I saw a man at Arsenal over Christmas at the Arsenal match. It was like a man who couldn't have been any younger than 48 to 55, I'd say. And he had Shamak's hair. Sort of gelled it in that sort of weird way, and I was like, Jesus.
Was he of North African descent?
No, he was North London descent.
He was just trying to just fight the signs of balding.
I don't know what it was. It was horrendous.
With gel
the urinals actually went, oh, I nearly, you know.
Shamak's hair is a modern phenomenon. It's very strange to almost sort of get your head around.
It's almost like he's frightened of it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to touch it.
No.
He wants it to float off his head.
If he touched it, it'd be like cardboard.
Mm.
It'd be impossible to move.
But all in all, a good match.
Yeah.
I thought Ben Davies kept Walcott quite quiet down that side. I really enjoyed that
game,
battle.
Yeah, Wilshere's, he needs a rest soon, though. You know, he's played a lot from coming back, and he looks fairly robust, and I think he looks pretty tired. But it's so good to have him back in there. It really is.
I know it was a few weeks ago. What a hat-trick against Newcastle.
What, Walcott?
Mm.
Yeah, it was magnificent. That third goal in particular.
Yeah.
He got a little bit of luck with the way the ball fell for him, but the finish was sublime. And it's been interesting with seeing Walcott playing down the middle, because in some games he's looked just ineffective, but then when he's played well there, he's been magnificent there. So it's an interesting one. I think maybe it would work better as a 4-4-2 with Walcott and Giroud up top together, but obviously that means changing the style altogether. I don't know.
I don't think Wenger would do that, would he?
No, I don't. But that's the dilemma he has, isn't it? Because Walcott's scoring goals from the wing, so if you put him up front, you're taking those goals away.
I find it strange the way the dynamics change with Arsenal, because against West Ham, I mean, Walcott is essentially, I mean, it may not be him because he seems like a reasonable sort, but it may be his agent or whatever, but he appears to a certain extent to be holding Arsenal a little bit to ransom.
Yeah, well, of course then, he is. He's had so many opportunities to sign a contract.
But then you see him at West Ham and all of a sudden he's taking free kicks, he's taking corners, and I'm almost like, for me, that is a measure of how far Arsenal have fallen. If someone like, if a player like Walcott, who at his best is good but is inconsistent,
you want Cazorla taking free kicks, I say, over, or even Arteta over Walcott.
Well, when I saw
Arsenal Newcastle first half, there was a couple of chances that he could have played somebody else in.
Yeah.
But the fact that he wants the goals and the fact that he always wants to take everything that they get handed and stuff means that you are losing out on goals elsewhere in the field, and it's kind of like no player should be able to say, I want to play there or else I'm not signing a new contract.
Well, do you think this is Walcott trying to just be as selfish as possible because he's heard, you know, good strikers are selfish, he's just trying to score as much as possible so Wenger will either give him loads of money or he looks good in the shop window?
I think you're right. I think he's gone off sod it, I'm just going to do what I want to do now.
Yeah.
And if they want to keep me, they're going to realise this is what I'm like, so they're going to succumb to what I want. Or other clubs will see, well, actually, he's scored a few goals, he's maybe the man we want, and they'll buy him and put him in a position that he wants to play.
The thing is, Arsenal need him right now, because it's a patchy squad, and that's getting patchier with each horrifying injury to Abu Diaby every week. And it's a ridiculous situation, and Arsenal need to spend in the transfer window this time. They need players now, and it's not ideal to sign players in January. Everyone always says that, but they need reinforcements to this squad. It's just too thin.
But Jim, also Walcott wants, I think, I mean, that's only media reporting, but I mean, Walcott, I think, wants $90,000 a week for 5 years. It's a lot of money. That's like £25 million.
It is, but he's what, 23? So, you know, that's essentially the prime of his career. And I think,
and goodness knows,
Arsenal's got the money. They need to pay the rate that other clubs are paying if they want to keep those top players. That's just how the market works.
But is he a top player?
I think for Arsenal at the moment he is. And I think, well, he's already, this season, I think he's got 14 goals, which is more than he's got in any other season for Arsenal already. So he's sort of coming into his prime now, I suppose. And it's interesting, he's the same age Thierry Henry was when Wenger moved him to being a striker.
He's not Henry.
I know he's not Henry, but Wenger's set out to sort of do that same experiment with Walcott that he did with Henry and moving him in later on. So it could yet sort of work. You know, it's showing signs that he could well flourish there. It means getting hat-tricks from starting up there. So I think they should pay it. They need to pay it. What sort of message does it send out if they lose him?
And they've experienced two big-name players going in the last couple of seasons and you know, doing pretty well.
Every season. Yeah.
But, you know.
And Henry.
Yeah,
was just what I wanted to say there. There was another 2-2. It was West Ham United versus Manchester United. Yeah. A United derby, if you will. And Joe Cole was back at West Ham. Yeah. Two assists.
That's lovely to see, isn't it?
Yeah, he's fitted straight in.
That he's taken his old squad number as well. Yeah. 26.
If you're a Liverpool fan, you'd be a bit like, oh, he didn't never look that dynamic for us, wouldn't you?
No. But he played for Liverpool, to be fair, though. Didn't he get sent off in his debut? And he was injured quite a bit as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he consistently plays, and he can be given a start. Because at West Ham, he's probably going to start games as soon as he gets match fit. I think that's a good signing. He got them a free as well, didn't they, I think?
Yeah.
And Sam Allardyce will.
And he got,
what,
£3 million out of it? Yeah. Great for everyone all round, other than Liverpool.
I think Joe Cole seems like a decent sort. I think I'm pleased that he's happy and I hope he does play well.
Apparently part of the reason Carlo Ancelotti sold him in the first place is because he's basically too thick to follow instruction.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Allardyce gets around that.
But Allardyce will have used much more basic instructions.
Well, you would think.
Which is something that we've said that...
Or get Prozone to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He'll just draw pictures.
But does it not strike you, he's not had that... He's always wanted that team to sort of build... he's always wanted to manage it to build a team around him, so basically do what he wants, and he's always been like this hot prospect, and he's still a hot prospect however old he is now.
Yeah, that English team has known what to do with him, really. Just push him out of the left.
But I think his game's suffered, like his crossing, from what I've seen, certainly in the matches I saw when he was in France and stuff, his crossing wasn't there anymore. It was against a fairly not an amazing match.
They were good headers though. It wasn't like it was an undefendable ball. They were really good headers.
It was high and looping, the first one. It was a good cross, but I thought it was high and looping for the...
It wasn't through the corridor of uncertainty, by any means.
But I just think he's let his game slide a little bit, sort of going, oh, I just need the right team, I just need the right team. It's like, but you know, be the right player.
But you're correct in saying that. It does seem that kind of Joe Cole, it's... oh, wait, he'll fulfil that potential in a minute.
I don't know. I think that's maybe a little
great year at Chelsea. On the ring,
he had a good few years there.
I think actually
for a while he was England's most consistent player as well.
Come on, he's to use a Charlie Brooker phrase, he's a rose growing in a dustbin when it comes to creativity in England's setup. Sort of.
He would be much better off on the continent his whole career.
Yeah. It disappointed me when he came back to England, to be honest.
And he looks like he's carrying a bit of timber because he's not quite fit. Yeah. Once he loses a few pounds, he'll be a lot better.
Well, when all was said and done, Van Persie scored a lovely one, and it'll be a replay at Old Trafford.
What a ball from Giggs that was.
Oh, yeah. Superb stuff.
I was a bit annoyed that a lot of the commentators through one or two of the games, actually more than one or two of the games that I saw, were saying, oh, neither team wants a replay. It's like, it's the FA Cup, man. Give it a bit of respect. If a replay's what's happening, that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, Manchester United, when they're 2-1 down with barely any time to go, wouldn't mind a replay.
Absolutely. It's that or go out.
Exactly.
You know, they'll both take a replay over going out.
With the choice of having 120 minutes, like an extra half an hour where, you know, hamstring injuries bloody happen more often than not, you know what I mean? I'd rather, they certainly do, yeah. I'd rather reshuffle my squad and, you know, if I need to put out a youth team, you know, on
you're
a Wednesday
not a manager.
Night. No, I thought this was my press conference.
If I need to reshuffle my team and put out a youth team, I will. Right, Pardew.
I'll take the Iraq job.
Yeah. Pardew piping up with, well, I'm playing a weaker team, so they can show me they really want it. Oh, they're rubbish. They're all rubbish.
They didn't want it, turns out.
Yeah, turns out they don't fucking want it.
Now, Theo Walcott isn't the only man who fancied a move before Christmas, who was playing on the wing but wants to play in the centre. But Sturridge has actually done it.
Yeah.
He's gone. That was forced, if you don't mind me saying.
Do you think?
Yeah,
okay. But he scored on his debut for Liverpool away at Mansfield.
He did.
Celebrated too much for me against a non-league team.
Yeah.
Do you think that?
Yeah, I know he's pleased to score on his debut and all that. To be fair, he was happy to score because it's his debut, but it's against Mansfield.
What about Suarez's celebration, kissing the hand?
He always does that.
No, he does, doesn't he? But I just thought it was quite funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the ultimate respect to the non-league side.
Yeah.
He'll still celebrate even.
A sorry kiss.
I thought, it's a classic example of like Mansfield. It's a classic example of a cup tie. In the first half, Mansfield shit their pants. Like, this is Liverpool, God. Don't take the piss here.
Hang on a minute, that's Brad Jones in goal.
And the second half, I thought,
shoot!
They're not that good. So let's have a go at them. Yeah. They were much better.
But they look really leggy first. At first 20 minutes, I thought, oh, this is going to be a rout here because they look so much. They look taller, they look fitter, they look thinner.
We should have had that fun pair on this pitch.
I missed the last 10 minutes of the lad who'd only signed professional papers in May. He got on, did he, in the end?
He was, can I just say, nuisance value. All sorts of nuisance value.
Love that. Absolutely love it. Yeah. The type of player that couldn't play grassroots level on the continent. But
no,
in England,
get him in there.
Scare him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can imagine him going on holiday to like to Spain or something. Oh, yeah, I'm a footballer. Oh, really? Oh. Fifth? Really?
What, you're
ninth in the conference?
How much do you pay per game? Yeah. Are they paying? What?
Yeah. How much are your subs?
No. dear. It was unlucky though for Mansfield.
What about the handball goal? You got to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It was a handball.
it was. Do you think it was deliberate?
What a cheating little rat.
Because I think the speed of it, I don't think he really knew much about that.
No, I don't think he did.
But I'm kind of with Brendan Rodgers on that one. I don't think it is for Suarez to say yes.
Do that,
I think, you know,
Closer did.
Yeah, but closer in Germany, though, the referee actually asks a player.
No, it was in Italy, wasn't it? It was for Lazio.
No, it was in Italy, but in Germany, the referee will ask a player.
What's that? Oh, closer's used to that?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, that's what.
Still, even if closer did, it doesn't mean Suarez should.
He's under no obligation. You're absolutely right.
Was it not ruled accidental? Did they not? Surely saw the hand hit the ball. Or the reverse.
I mean, to me, the ball flicks up. He doesn't sort of do a punch at it, you know. But I thought the Mansfield coach summed up quite nicely when he just said, you know, that's not the reason why we lost the game. Fair enough. We should be happy that a talent like him is playing in England. And he was quite philosophical.
Sounds a bit reasonable. Mind you, I trust it.
Mind you, he did have wedding on Friday, birthday Saturday. Game on Sunday. He's probably just quite happy to get it all over with.
I think it was his birthday on the day, then the wedding was on the Saturday, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was a very busy weekend for him anyway.
He had a lovely time.
Yeah.
I used to go out with a girl from Mansfield, and if I know Mansfield, Suarez's opinions are probably, you know, quite popular. A lot of Union Jacks.
I went
Union
to,
Jackson,
I went to Fulham versus Blackpool, where everybody behaves
it's
themselves.
At the football round. Sure,
it's a lovely place.
Yeah.
Just full of racists.
Wow.
Giddy aunt.
Go on, Marcus. Wrestle this back.
Fulham versus Blackpool.
Carragounis.
I was there.
Good man.
Dipping.
We got to the ground early, and Just to find like a little sandwich or something, Jim and Neil.
Mm.
And
have a picnic on the pitch. Do they do that? Have a big communal picnic on the pitch?
I'll suggest it to them.
That's what Mansfield do with a digger.
10-2. I saw Damien Duff on his way.
Go on, Duffer.
into the stadium.
Was he with Keno? Was he with Robbie King?
No, but
having
like,
a beer.
At the time, I didn't know he wasn't playing. I was like, it's 10-2. You better get in there. But he didn't. He wasn't even on the bench. For that reason, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought Sylvester's goal was quite nice as well. Outside of the right.
Mm. Oh, for Blackpool?
For Blackpool.
Blackpool were excellent, actually. They caused Fulham a lot of problems. And Fulham just couldn't break them down. You know, you think of some of the players, you know, Ruiz and Berbatov and all.
Mm.
And it took that special goal from Karagounis. He had a really good game, actually. He's very busy. I mean, he's 35, isn't
he? Yeah, you wonder if he's really got the engine still, but he seems
well,
to.
I mean, I know it's a lower league opposition, but he took the goal well.
He's not really playing every game, is he? So I think that's quite an astute signing.
Yeah.
Why have Fulham been so inconsistent, though?
You better ask the manager.
I think he gets a bit of an easy run, Martin Joel, just because he's so reasonable and calm all the time.
So.
He
hasn't run a rave.
He said about Carragher, he said, go on YouTube and you'll see loads of clips of him doing that.
Is that right?
Is that what you've been spending your time doing?
Yeah. Well, I think Fulham are just a bit, they're lacking down the middle.
Well, there's a lesson to be learnt from Martin Joel for a lot of other managers who invite pressure on themselves by losing their rag on the touchline, by mouthing off in media interviews and stuff. And Martin Joel's so avuncular so cool all the time. He's just like, well, you know, it's just things happen, you know. Mm. And that's it. And no one ever gives him any shit.
That's right. Well, I think Fulham are a bit lightweight in the centre of the park, you know, which is maybe why Karagounis was brought in. I don't know. I mean, they look quite crafty on the wings with Katerniklić and Fry, but they're still in their. Katerniklić's first full season. Fry, he's a good player, but you can't bank on him just yet.
Did you have Danny Murphy back in there?
Danny Murphy.
He scored on the weekend, I think.
Yeah, did he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Fulham need to look at the centre of the midfield.
Hmm. What about Blackpool and Tom Ince? Didn't he say that he didn't want to be cup tied?
Oh, is that
by playing in the FA Cup, and then they played him in the FA Cup, and basically because he had a couple of chances where, you know, you could have played a player in and stuff. I thought he
bit naughty.
Yeah, but naughty. Yeah,
they're player. In good voice though, the Blackpool fans.
Mm.
Well done to them. Mm. Other good results for lower league opposition. Luton 1, Wolves 0.
Yeah, that's huge. Mm.
Solbakken was sacked.
Mm, said it like he wasn't embarrassed.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, you should be, mate. Yeah.
Dean Saunders is in, fourth manager in 11 months for Wolves.
I think Wolves lost like their last three games before that game, and they seem to be like a team who've gone from being inconsistent to just bad.
I think they're 18th in the Championship,
It's a shame because for Solbakken, because he seems a bit of a character, really, from what I've heard about him.
It was a shame for McCarthy when he left.
Yeah. McCarthy, I know they've gone for Dean Saunders, haven't they?
They've gone Dean Saunders, yeah.
No amazing return for Big Mick.
But Mick's in charge of Ipswich.
Ipswich, absolutely, yeah.
And they went there and got a result. Mm. Oh, dear. Talking of results, Macclesfield 2, Cardiff 1.
Mm, that's huge.
Well, I mean, Cardiff 7 points clear in the Championship, but they're out in the FA Cup, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, you wonder if it's like a concentration issue with Cardiff, because they lost home to Peterborough a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
they're flying in the league.
Well, you wonder if this will actually benefit them, because they've had some cup runs in the past where they've then sort of tonked in the league late on. So it might just, they need to focus on getting in the Premier League. They've come so close so many times. Just screw it. They can use this as a positive almost, just so that they're completely focused on one thing now.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point.
Wigan 1, Bournemouth 1. Mm-hmm. Lovely replay for Eddie Howe's men.
But I don't think they've lost a game under Eddie Howe yet.
Ooh.
Hey, come on.
How about that? Final. We're looking at there.
Brighton. Counting that as future facts.
Well, if that run continues, Jim.
Run of draws.
I know you're about to say Brighton 2, Newcastle United 0.
Was I?
Pete had a tantrum and didn't watch the game, did you, Pete? You sulked instead.
How did you know? I went to go and play football instead. I was like, I know what's happening here. When I saw the lineup, I could either have stayed in and watched the match. I went, no.
An example of 21st century fandom, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I saw them three times in December, so up yours.
Mm. How many did they win?
Two.
That's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Two.
Big egg blown up on your face, isn't it?
Sorry, I'm talking absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
They managed to get Shorami Obi.
That was a bit hard.
That was a lovely goal, I thought.
He's not going to the African Cup of Nations, you know.
No, he's not.
Apparently they wanted him, but he never got back to them.
That is poor, isn't it?
I think Pardew basically realised that Bauer was gone and just said, yeah, that's not happening, and he went,
alright then. It's a bit of a weird situation for Newcastle, isn't it now? Because Cissé's injured. Am I right in believing?
No, I think it should be all right for Norwich.
It's a fragile front line, isn't it? With Amiobi banned.
It's not
Sammy Amiobi and Niall Ranger.
It's not
far away from the front.
It's really not the front line that anybody needs to be worrying about. To be fair, it's all about the back line. I've not seen Newcastle United so disorganised at the back since Matt Lawrenson was defensive coach. To be honest,
they got quite a few players coming back, and Colaccini and Gutierrez and Cissé.
But Colaccini's been shit the last few matches. He's been awful, and it's just they just look really disorganised. We've not bought
Taylor back.
Well, that's what I mean. But we've not bought like a defender for more than like £1 million for like since Colaccini, which I think is telling. We've all been trying to like push these defenders through, but you know, Perch, Williamson. You know, we needed
turned
another defender.
Turned on Perchinho.
Who are these players learning off? How can you learn stuff off college? He's only one man and he's not playing that well at the moment. He's not in form. And, you know, we've got that Debussy character coming in and stuff. And he can do a job and stuff.
David Santon was over £1 million, wasn't he?
No, I don't think it was a huge amount of money, but he wasn't like a big sort of marquee defensive signing. He was an Italian underneath. We need a centre back.
Who would you want, Peter, in an ideal world?
I don't know.
Realistically,
I just don't know. We just need someone who's a little bit more solid than Mike Flipping Williamson.
Yeah. Who is not unreasonable.
We need a squad, basically. What other teams have a bloody squad? But it is nice to see that if we can get that Remy fella. Apparently he likes to play a lot on the right, so
Remy's having the best season.
No, but it will free up Cissé to actually go down the middle because he's been sort of farmed out on the right and the left.
Don't be too harsh on Newcastle because they've effectively got a whole team out injured.
Yeah, leave off them, Pete.
The disappointing thing for the going back to the
we
Brighton,
should be able to beat Brighton.
Yeah, but the disappointing thing for the Brighton are on the right side and they're at home and stuff and they were favourites going into that game. But the disappointing thing for Newcastle is like the players who came in for that game didn't seem that bothered. I'm sure they tried their best, but they didn't seem to have that much desire to try and break into the first team full time. It was a little bit disappointing from that point of view, I thought.
No, it was, but it wasn't the best off that sort of level of form where we've just not won a single match for flipping ages.
Sammy Amiobi looked like happy to be playing, but he bundles
his way through defences.
He nearly got a goal at Old Trafford, though.
Well, that's what I mean. There were periods of time in the Arsenal match, for example, in the match at Old Trafford and stuff, where we looked alright. And you know, and I think if you can keep that up for more than 20 minutes and not let farm bloody 3 goals in, I mean, like I was expecting a 4-all. It was like 10 minutes left or something, and Arsenal scored all their goals, and I was sat there going, well, I wasn't sat there, I was stood there because I pretend I was an Arsenal fan, but I was applauding the goalkeeping, not the chances. Terrible business.
Oh dear. Never mind. Denver Bale's gone to Chelsea. He already got his goal scoring feats underway there.
Away to Southampton.
Did I see Frank Lampard not let him take the penalty for his hat trick?
No, I think Bale didn't ever try to take it, did he?
Okay, right. I thought Lampard insisted. I mean, I know Lampard was trying to get to Kerry Dixon's record, so maybe that was something to do with it. But I thought there was potentially a little bit of a disagreement. Mm. But I might become an overall tabloid there.
But Lampard will be leaving Chelsea at the end of the season.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know about you boys, but I heard rumours about a year ago that he wanted to leave and go to the MLS.
Is that right?
Do you think it'll be the MLS? Yeah, I do, yeah.
I don't know.
Are you going to tell some sort of Sven?
No, I'm not mentioning
QPR.
In the show. Don't worry about that.
QPR?
No, I don't think QPR. If Ancelotti's still at PSG, I know they've got a lot of players, but
MLS.
I don't know.
I think
he'll
go to America. I'd really
do you think
it.
So?
Yeah.
They've got Pastore in that position.
But I think Lampard's still got a bit to offer. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Schneider moved on, Inter came in from. Do you know what I mean? I really wouldn't be surprised.
I think, but he's 35 years old. You're getting a season out of him at that level, tops, you would think. So a club like Inter, it's such short termism. I don't think that's likely to happen.
I think he potentially could fit in at PSG. He's a bit deeper. He plays a bit deeper than Pastore.
But the same applies, you know.
Yeah.
If you're building a team.
Fair enough. But Ancelotti's got history with him, though.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what Ancelotti thinks. It's what Zlatan thinks.
Yeah. But Mourinho will be going there, so anyway, won't he?
What about Fulham? Someone like that.
That's likely. Will he be able to leave Carragunas out of the team though? You got to ask.
Well, it depends if Berdinho is put in there. Any struggle?
There are some absolutely ridiculous rumours surrounding Frank Lampard. I saw one today saying Arsenal and Man United will have to wait until the summer to try and get Frank Lampard. Either club are going to come in for him.
Of course we could, but you know,
I thought you were going to say there's been some mental rumours about Frank Lampard. Like he's actually a horse. like completely unrealistic stuff.
Why wouldn't Alex Ferguson sort of pull him in as sort of another Scholes getting another 3 or 4
he's
years?
He's already got one.
But it just seems weird. I mean, he's on a ridiculous amount of money at Chelsea, and people talk about the club not being not giving him the time of day. It's like he's on more money than pretty much everyone else in the squad. He'll go China, or he'll go MLS, or if he wants a bit of a career, he'll go to a Premier League club. He loves it. He loves being the centre of attention. He's got another
2 or 3 years at the top level, I would say.
There you go.
I'm chucking my hat in the ring for the MLS, and we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. Shall we move away from the Great British Isles?
Let's
go to La Liga, where Jose Mourinho is trying to get himself fired. Yeah. Madrid
beat. It should be more sinister than that. It should be played for a massive trombone.
Real Madrid beat Real Sociedad 4-3. Mourinho's name was booed by the fans when his name was read out after the team sheets were given prior to the match. A couple of weeks ago before Christmas, Madrid lost away to Malaga 3-2. Mourinho dropped Casillas for the first time in 100 years, and Antonio Adan was put in the sub keeper.
What did he immediately do?
Yeah, it was in the other game. So in Malaga, they lost 3-2. Adan wasn't really to blame for some of the goals, but you'd probably maybe fancy Casillas getting a hand to one or two of them. But against Sociedad, I think it was 6 minutes in, Adan got sent off.
For a foul on Carlos Vela. Still find him.
Yeah.
And everyone was cheering.
No doubt attempting a chip.
Yeah.
And then Casillas came on and everyone was cheering. So they cheered like a red card. Yeah. It was really weird.
Didn't Ronaldo offer him the captaincy? And he just didn't have it.
Oh, you bitch. You bitch. Didn't want it.
What is going on there? And Fabio Contrao got himself in some trouble as well. Didn't he turn him reporting back late from his holidays?
Yeah.
Mourinho sabotaging himself.
Well, Jose said, with regards to the fans, if they whistle my name before the game and then support the team during the game as they have done, then perfect. That seems perfect to me.
It seems to me like Madrid really bring the worst out in Mourinho, because he does seem quite petty.
But they would argue he brings the worst out there.
Well, yeah, he's a club that's bigger than him. That's why
it's two vortexes trying to become one.
He's tried to become bigger than the club.
There's no way.
The club,
and they invented the Galacticos.
There's no way he's going to be there next season. No way. No,
he's basically sewing prawns into the curtains and then leaving.
Yeah.
So like for his so his next club is kind of like they're a little bit easier to
sort of shroud beyond the radiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he said things like...
That guy in the loft, what?
Yeah.
But he said, I don't always like to be in a comfortable situation or to be a hero forever. I mean, I don't... All right. Very strange.
Yeah. Did he poke someone in the eye? No,
I think so. Yeah. Barcelona beat Espanyol 4-0, the Barcelona derby.
Just easy.
Messi won the Ballon d'Or here.
Yes, he did. Did you see the team of the year as well?
Yeah, it's all our Liga players, wasn't it? Yeah.
Only one of them was outside of Barcelona or Madrid as well. But it was voted for by the players.
Which was Falcao, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Should have been Zlatan.
Obviously.
The Barcelona Espanyol game was over about 20 minutes. They might as well have just said, right, we've got the Ballon d'Or tomorrow, can we all go home now? I think they had like 20% one shot on target or something. Yeah.
Atletico Madrid drew away to Mallorca, which is a shame, losing a little bit of pace off the top spot. I did like it though that Kevin scored for Mallorca. It's quite nice.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, good. And also, Levante, they beat Athletic Bilbao 3-1. They're in sixth, carrying on their form from last season, which we did mention a month or two ago.
Yeah, they're getting back up there.
So well done to them. But one of the big stories outside of the U of K was coming from Italy when Kevin Prince-Boateng walked off the pitch in a friendly match against lower league side Pro Patria after being racially abused by a section of supporters. And he walked off the pitch. I'm sure many of you have seen this.
He booted the ball into the crowd as well.
He did. He had a go
more at the crowd, wasn't it?
And then the rest of the Milan players followed him off as well, which is an incredible stance against racism.
And it's a perfect opportunity to do it as well, because it's a mid-season friendly, so he's not going to harm Milan in any way. And it's great that they've taken a stand.
Well, Boateng said after the incident, he said he wanted to send out a signal that we can't keep going on like this. And it's caused a massive stir, and he's been supported by a lot of people and applauded by that. Sepp's not one of them though.
No.
Okay. I think it's sad that it's actually had to come to a player to do it.
Oh, of course it is. But we talked about this.
I think it's kind of sad that it happened in a friendly, you know what I mean? I wish it was a more high-profile match, to be honest.
But that's unlikely to happen, so this is the perfect compromise.
Have you seen the Champions League when you go out east?
No, but I mean, I don't think the players are going to do that to their club, because they're going to forfeit the match and probably be sanctioned for it. So I think this is the perfect compromise.
I think you're right.
I understand what you mean, yeah.
Well, we did. I think, Luke, you might have mentioned a while ago that it will take players walking off the pitch for something.
Well,
drastic,
no one else is going to do anything. No one else will do anything about it. That's the thing.
Sepp's not having that, though, is he?
Well, no, he said.
Old white man Sepp.
He said, walk off? No. I don't think that is the solution. I mean, to be fair, if I may, just for a brief moment to Sepp, he can't just suddenly go, yep, everyone start walking off.
No, I understand that, yeah, of course.
But he could have at least said, I admire what Boateng did, and it's highlighted the fact. To be honest, I don't think that should be the case, but I can understand. Do you see what I mean? He could have been a bit more
what he has
humanly
said,
instead of lizardly.
Indeed. What he has said are things along the line of, you know, there has to be zero tolerance on this. You know, the punishments need to be really, really harsh. You're the person who's in charge of those, so why don't you do
you're
something
the head
about
of
it?
Football.
I like to imagine sort of looking around over his shoulder for the person responsible for it. Yeah. We really get on that, really. Where is
Jesus.
Yeah, that's me, isn't it? Yeah, okay, right.
Let's hope something lays an egg in his brain.
But am I right in saying that it's probably UEFA that have had more cause to be criticised for stuff like this rather than FIFA, because there's, you know, it's mainly sort of your European competitions when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, they're both as bad as one another, I'd say.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, they've both got to take.
Surely FIFA have some sort of influence over UEFA.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? There's a lot of controversy around that sort of thing. I don't think FIFA like that club football under UEFA has taken almost like a precedent, taken precedent over international football. So there's a lot of sort of, they're at loggerheads over a lot of things, I think.
But I'm sure they could have some sort of influence anyway. But back at Milan, though, and the football itself, Alexander Pato left Milan to go to Corinthians for £12 million, £12.8 million, I think it was. He joined Milan in 2007. And he's obviously been there for sort of 5.5 years, and 16 injuries since then.
He's had a really hard time.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, he actually has played, I think, about 150 matches for the club. I was surprised he managed to get to that far. But for such an injury-prone player, for such a high price tag, really, I'm surprised Corinthians paid that.
Michael Owen's got his guy. That's a shame. Yeah, he's not injury-prone. He's just...
It's a shame for Pato. I mean, he's got a big talent. Whenever I've seen him, he's shown that when he's fit, he's different class. But
I think the good thing is that if indeed he can get back to the player that he promised to be,
he looks like he can be consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brazil, you know, the Brazilian boys, they love their country, don't they? And they like playing there. You know, he's still only what, 22 or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, in 4 years' time, if he's had a good...
Look at Robin van Persie. He missed a significant chunk of every season bar last season for Arsenal.
Yeah, that's
and he's
true.
You know, he's not been injured in ages. Players do shrug it off. I was just thinking back to Steven Gerrard as well. He had a lot of injuries when he was younger, and he managed to overcome that.
But Milan, because they're forced to play so many games. Or
absolutely, they're still growing in some cases. Mm-hmm. Also, Milan are supposedly in talks to sell Robinho to Santos. So
that's not happening now.
Really?
They've withdrawn Robinho from the transfer list.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Why put him on it?
Yeah. I'd maybe put himself on it. I don't know.
Can you do that?
It's cool. We've seen the amount of players Milan have sold recently. They obviously need the money in some way.
Yeah, they do. Right, it wasn't just the FA Cup of the domestic cups happening on the weekend. The French Cup has been throwing up its usual upsets. Got there. Lyon, the holders, were beaten by third tier side at Epinal on penalties.
It's so strange. This happens all the time.
The French Cup is outrageous. For this, it really is. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I love the French Cup because so many teams can enter it. Like, I think in last season over 7,000 teams entered it, and I think that also counts the teams in French-owned territories as well. Yep. I don't really know how that works, but like, even places like Reunion Island and stuff like that, they can enter teams.
I think so.
Roger Miller could perhaps come out of retirement in the French Cup if he wanted to.
Roger Miller would be
come out of the
about
FA,
70 now.
Yeah,
that'd
but,
be amazing. Laurent Robert's from Reunion Island, actually.
Get them together.
Imagine
have a little
got,
run at the French Cup.
How annoyed would you be if you got drawn away?
Yeah, that's why I don't know how it works. I'm pretty sure that's the case, though.
Yeah.
They must have to take place in France, surely. That's got to be what it is.
Anyway, loads of teams are in it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, the French Cup is class. Another third-tier side, CA Bastia beat their local rivals, Bastia, who, of course, top...
that's one of those brilliant things where they won't play each other again for probably about 10 years. So they'll have
least,
that over their rivals for ages.
Yeah, that's right. PSG, a slightly weakened side, but still, they hard-fought win against fifth-tier side Arras, winning 4-3.
Fifth-tier?
I mean, it doesn't matter how weakened PSG are. They should still be beaten as a...
That's like Mansfield.
Yeah.
They're 50.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But 4-3.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's magnificent.
Three goals.
It's absolutely magnificent. Zlatan's been a bit annoyed recently.
Well, is this really news?
Yeah.
I'm just confirming it, that he was annoyed by the French press. He said, "Today at training, journalists even started talking to me on the pitch, which is not normal."
That is a bit stupid.
Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed. I think France is not used to having someone in their country who is of my level.
Good lad.
Yay.
In other very strange news, a PSG fan has written to Zlatan Ibrahimovic after quickly registering for the domain name zlatan.fr. The fan has listed 12 challenges, but all Ibra has to do is complete one of them to get the domain name for free, although the unnamed fan did sign off saying you can try as many as you like.
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
I don't think so. A few examples of the challenges are, and this is straight from the unnamed fan's mouth or keypad. He said, "Stay at my place for a month. This way, all my life, I could say, Ibra, sure, he used to sleep on my couch for a while."
But in what world would you stay at someone's house you didn't know for a month to get a web domain?
Well, another challenge was, "Beat me at taekwondo. I've heard you're not bad at it. As I've never practiced that sport, I recommend you choose this challenge."
Yeah. Considering Ibra is, you know, hasn't he sort of copyrighted the word Ibrahimovic?
No, he tried to copyright the word Zlatan.
Zlatan, right, okay.
But then it got taken into the Swedish dictionary, didn't it?
But I dare say that he'd be able to just strong arm it off someone. Because, you know, it's internet squatting effectively.
This is my favourite challenge. "Let me slap you in the face without saying a word. And in public, obviously."
But you can obviously. Imagine Zlatan going, "What am I getting out of this? A web domain? I don't even want it."
Look, I'm not sure it's entirely serious.
I reckon he is serious. I've seen a picture of him. I reckon he is serious.
What is it? Zlatan, Zlatan.fr. Yeah. How long is he going to be in France for?
Don't know. Well, isn't it that supposedly Zlatan wants to sort of increase his public profile? That's the fans' logic, at least. He's trying to sort of hold him to ransom.
But so he's probably already got Zlatan.com, so you know, that's short.
That's probably fine.
If you're a global presence.
Well, we're talking about it, aren't we? So,
yeah, that's very true. I think we need to go to Pete's game after this.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
I think we should go to Pete's game after this.
Well, now we're here.
Pierluigi Casaraghi.
No, it's not Pierluigi Casaraghi. This is...
Parhaz was in twice, you never know.
This game was... Was Casaraghi in there at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got him, didn't he?
Oh, dear. This comes from David Lindbergh. He comes up with this name. Harry Redknapp's Wheel and Deal of Fortune.
Nice. It's a good one.
It's a very solid start to the year.
Only 5 clues, so I get you thinking caps on and that. I was born the 9th of September 1968 in Sunderland.
Go on.
I am the nephew of a former West Indian cricketer.
Mm. Not even a guess.
Go on.
No guess, no?
No.
No
guess, no? my hat trick in 1998 was the last one to be scored at the original Wembley Stadium for an English league team.
Oh, balls.
Stop. Clayton Blackmore.
No. Oh, that's a blasphemy pass, isn't it?
Mm. Stop. Clive Mendonca.
It's Clive Mendonca.
Good guess.
Give me the 5.
How's that? Last year I auctioned my prized possessions from my football career in order to help my wife set up her own business. I was also voted number one Grimsby and Charlton cult hero.
Yeah, that was in the playoff final. Nice. Against Sunderland. They won on penalties.
Mm.
4-4, I think it was.
Good knowledge.
Thanks, bruv. Mm.
No problem.
Have we got any correspondence, Mr. Corresponder?
We have, and the Twitter topic, Twitter/Facebook topic, week was simply, what was your highlight of Christmas? I've left it as open as that.
Oh, not even from football?
Whatever they want.
Well,
I thought they'd been pretty loyal up until now. Give them a chance.
Yes.
Ian Hepburn tweeted straight in by saying, flying a 10,000 mile round trip to make sure I caught a home game before Partick's Cup final in April, only to see the game rained off.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Friend of the Ramble, Dan Monaghan.
Oh, yeah.
The attempted murder of Robin Van Persie. I think that's an Alex Ferguson dick.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Greg Kitchen, and I'm with you on this, Greg. I support Portsmouth. I don't believe in highlights anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Alistair Wilkie says Henning Berg getting the sack on Boxing Day reminds me of the true meaning of Christmas: misery and pain.
Henning Berg stormed out of the Christmas party, didn't he?
He did, because someone tried to make him sing. Was that or dance?
I think he thought he was being invited up to do, say like a few words, and then someone put like a false wig on him.
That's right. So then, what do they want to do with Jackson dance?
Yeah, it's always Jacko, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Rob Lloyd says, giving my mate a Newcastle 2013 calendar. The picture for January? Denver Bar.
Yeah. Some people have covered, got Debussy's head and stuck it on the top of
Good
Denver
idea.
Bar.
Yeah.
Clever.
Idea.
That's what you'll have to do.
Tom Robbo Robinson via Facebook says, my granddad eating the 20p from the Christmas pudding, refusing to believe he had, and then sending us said 20p in the post about a week later. P.S. No granddads were harmed in the making of this.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
yes.
This is a good one. Kevin O'Connor from Facebook says, my highlight was the latest words from the Shearer Book of Wisdom on Ferguson's reaction of RVP getting the ball kicked at his head. Mm. Could he have killed him? Well, he hasn't. He's got straight up. I love the way Shearer's brain works.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent. Stephen Chick says, ooh, Paddy Creran's seemingly booze-riddled rant on Five Live. Come on.
Yeah, that was magnificent.
What was that one?
That was him taking on Bridge.
Rio Ferdinand.
Yes, it was
at Manchester Derby.
Yeah, yeah.
Just swearing at everyone.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't. It was basically he got the complete wrong end of the stick. The question put to him was, is it safe for players to sort of celebrate provocatively in front of fans? But he thought that the radio presenters were saying that players shouldn't celebrate goals.
Yeah.
And he just would not listen to the fact that they didn't actually mean that.
It was like the local drunk shouting at random strangers.
It was more than like that.
on top of a bridge,
screaming at the moon.
Is this some kind of PR stunt?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And a few more just to round up. Brian McNichols says, my aunt brushed past me on her way to the drinks and I went down hard. The family accused me of a dive, but if there's contact, I'm going over.
Yeah, it's fair point.
That's reasonable.
Daniel Francis says, Chevy Singh's wonderful radio appearance, responding with not telling in a girlish giggle when asked to explain what duties were involved in being a global advisor, and beginning every sentence with Robbie, no matter who he was speaking to. And finally, David Sanderson said, my mum came over to spend Christmas Day at my fiance's parents' house, but she went to the wrong house on the next street, a house she then invited herself into for a drink, and when I went to find her, I was greeted at the door by my mum and a rather confused Chris Malkin, who played for Tranmere and Millwall in the 90s, who was too kind to tell her she was in the wrong house. That's a Christmas story.
Magnificent.
Superb.
Yeah, well, more of those next week.
Beautiful. Now it's time for a profile, you lovelies. And who have we got this week to kick us off to the new year? It's Glenn Hoddle.
Ooh. Glenn Hoddle.
Goddle. Yeah. Already.
I'm going to sing a bit of Diamond Lights, though, but I can't really remember any of it.
Darling, I love you.
Yeah.
Diamond Lights.
Thank you.
There we go.
Good.
Feel better now?
That wasn't even rehearsed.
I love that song.
Ooh.
It shouldn't be as good as it is, and it's very good.
Waddle doesn't want to be there.
It's all about Hoddle. Well, can we get to that?
Yeah. Okay, right.
It's tense, though. It's tense for a pop song.
But it's very
with
tense.
With two footballs in it.
Can we just induct the song Diamond Lights?
Darling, I love you!
When we get to that stage, that's when we stop.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Chris Waddle did a song with Basil Bowie, like a rap song.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. He was born on the 27th of October 1957.
And when was he born again?
Very good, Jim.
Yes, Jim Barnes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Jordan Bennett.
Just under 10 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I imagine he had a lovely time in the Summer of Love. Probably doing a bit of homework, having a kick around the park with his pals. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
right. Strikes me as a young Scott Parker.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Jimmy!
Yeah, doing what I was. Why don't they just call him Scott in that advert? Don't make any difference.
Well, because he's playing a part, isn't he?
Yeah, he's acting, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're a part.
He was a product of Watford's youth academy, don't you know? Apparently he was spotted by a scout who was walking past a football pitch where Hoddle was playing for his school.
Sounds like a lie, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's where a scout should be.
I don't believe a bloody
word. I don't like the way
scout
they say
doing
that,
his job while skiving.
Guess where that scout was? Walking past a football pitch. Good. It's his fucking job.
If he can walk the dog at the same time, good.
Yeah.
How are you with knots?
Notts County.
Different kind of scout.
But it was Watford's youth setup he joined. And then after that, he went to Spurs as an apprentice to make wonderful
Benches.
Football. Make wonderful football with them. He made his debut for the first team at the age of 17 and would make his first start a little bit later and scored quite famously in a match against Stoke, who had Peter Shilton in goal.
Mm.
So if you're going to get your first one, put it past
that
Schultz.
Was in like 1976, wasn't it? It's weird to think of Hoddle playing in that era.
It is, yeah. I know what you mean, Jim. Know exactly what you mean. He would soon establish himself in the first team, become one of Spurs' best players. He did play at a good time at Spurs, playing alongside Ardiles, Garth Crooks, Chrissy Waddle, Gary Mabbott, Clive Allen.
Wow.
Lovely period at Tottenham Hotspur. Probably
lovely
their most
stuff.
Lovely, yeah. They're probably
a lot of insulin kicking around.
Probably their most successful spell since the early 60s. So there. Well, they were involved, let me back that up, they were involved in a number of finals. They won the FA Cup in 81 and 82 and the UEFA Cup in 1984.
Back when that was harder.
Mm. Well, when it was alive.
Well, yeah, when it existed.
Yeah, that's right.
Much harder now, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. In 1979-1980, he won PFA Young Player of the Year, scored 19 goals in 41 matches, made his England debut in 79-2, also featured a little bit at the Euros in 1980. But going back to the UEFA Cup final, unfortunately missed that due to injury. But he did put in a memorable performance against Feyenoord in one of the Cup's earlier rounds, where Spurs won 6-2 on aggregate, so much so that even Johan Cruyff himself was very impressed by the young Hoddle, and he went to the Spurs dressing room afterwards and offered Hoddle his shirt.
Mm. Ah. Good stuff, eh?
High quite arrogant, isn't it?
I know, yeah, it is, but it's nice in a way.
I suppose so.
That's as
it's
good
the
as
best you're going to get.
I was going to say, we're talking Johan Cruyff here.
Yeah.
But before that 84 final, he did play at the World Cup in 1982 with England when they went out in the second group stages. It's funny actually with Hoddle. He played in two European Championships, two World Cups. I mean, most notably the World Cup in 1986. Of course, Maradona halted England's progression, but that was a good England side.
Mm.
And
yeah, Hoddle spoke quite emotionally about that hand of God goal, about how he said it took him ages to get over it, and how like he also said that when Maradona scored that goal, and I think Hoddle and Shilton and only a couple of other players saw it.
Yeah,
he said that he couldn't play. As soon as when they kicked off again, he said he just couldn't play. For like 4 or 5 minutes, he couldn't get his head right. He couldn't believe it had happened. And he was so frustrated and so cut up about it that he said that he just couldn't focus for ages. It took him ages to snap himself out of it. And he said it took him 4 or 5 years, really, to get over it.
Oh, yeah.
And an interview
Is it fair to say that Glenn Hoddle overthinks things?
This is the thing, though, Pete. Really emotionally, at the end of the interview I saw, he said, in my head, I'm still chasing that referee.
Wow.
Like he was still, it really affected him.
It broke him.
Because he also said that, massively. He also said that the referee was, he said he was Syrian, but I think he was Tunisian, and that the linesman involved was Costa Rican. And he said that before that incident, he had thought, he wasn't sure those officials were up to it. He said they weren't up to the pace of it, they shouldn't have been there at that level at court final instead of the World Cup. Which I think is maybe a little bit of a Little England thing to say, oh, they're footballing backwaters and stuff.
Mm.
But it's still quite an interesting thing to think about.
Mm.
Because Maradona's second goal was only about three or four minutes after that first goal.
It was.
So you wonder whether that had an impact in it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hoddle's one of the players that Maradona leaves for dead.
It is.
So, you know, that completely makes sense.
And Hoddle was well known for his tackling.
And tracking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically, what we're saying is if, you know, Maradona hadn't been such a little cheat, we'd have won that game and then the World Cup.
Hoddle would have Bobby Moore. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There can be no argument against that.
No.
Well, we march on then, don't we? 1987, a year later, that was a big year for Hoddle because he and Chris Waddle released Diamond Lights in the charts.
Big year for music.
big year for popular culture.
Yeah. Pete, Diamond Lights. And we're on.
Here we go.
Turn the lights down.
It really packs a punch, doesn't it?
It's a nice build up.
It's kind of like Tears for Fears. It's oddly dark pop music.
I like it because it doesn't take itself too seriously.
But the thing
like is, the man himself.
But on top of the pops, though, Waddle
doesn't want to be there.
Waddle don't want to be there. Hoddle's like, I think this is where I should be.
This is my World Cup final.
It's
very dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a training montage in like
Karate Kid. Yeah.
It's the film of Glenn Hoddle's life in Glenn Hoddle's head.
The thing about it is, it's Ghost Diamond Lights, Darling, I Love You. But there's no women in the video, is
there? No.
You wonder what it's about.
Here we go. Here we are.
And there's a woman there, like
Trevor. You can't tell in the 80s.
Is that actually Hoddle's voice?
You can't tell on the radio either. Yeah, Hoddle's got a decent voice.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Like Hoddle and
well, that's enough.
Hoddle and Chris are like kind of next to each other singing, and there's a woman in the middle of them, like they're sort of arguing over her.
It's a love triangle, isn't it? The world's not bothered about.
I think that's
no, you can have her, I'm married.
That'll do, that'll do. That'll do.
Get Hoddle, ladies and gentlemen.
His last match for Spurs was in 1987 as well. The cup final against Coventry, where they lost 3-2. Mm. That Keith Houchen diving header was involved in
Spurs put that to bed at the weekend, didn't they?
They did.
That hatchet.
He scored over 100 goals for Spurs in nearly 500 matches. And damn it all, became one of the club's greatest players.
Yeah.
With that ball control, with the passing, Jim, with the poise.
The passing range was phenomenal.
With the technique.
The shooting range as well, because he would stroke long range goals that would have immense power to them.
Stroke is the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He, weirdly, almost reminds me a little bit of Riquelme in that he didn't have much pace, but just had much
someone
skill.
Like Socrates.
Yeah.
He's a rangy player.
Socrates was more explosive, burst forward.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
But Hoddle could put the ball on a 10-pence piece from like 100 yards. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. He was he was so graceful.
Yeah, I mean, he really was. And that's why sometimes when... if people are having a dig at someone like Berbatov, he'll always stick up for them, you know, and loves that type of player. And the kind of the old thing was that Hoddle wasn't fully appreciated in England. And when he went to France, you know, Arsene Wenger was like, this guy is magnificent. Because he went to, obviously, Monaco under Wenger, Big Veng. And,
Big Veng, unnecessary.
Was he Big Veng then?
No, I don't think he was then.
Medium Veng.
I think he's known as Veng the Merciless.
Oh dear. But he said that Wenger actually said his control was superb and his skill in both feet was uncanny, and he believed he was undervalued in England and perhaps even a few years ahead of his time.
Wow.
For some people. But yeah, they loved him in France. They won Ligue 1 and he was voted best foreign player in playing in France.
Good lad.
So yeah, so we had a great time.
Right.
Best mullet in France as well, probably.
I'd have thought so.
Definitely up there.
I'd have thought so. Yeah. His last England cap came at Euro 88. England went out in the first round. Very disappointing. But he got 53 international caps.
It's funny how he got less caps than Gazza, and everyone says Gazza was a massive wasted talent.
Gazza got 57, I think.
Yeah. Which is more than 53.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it was
very famously.
Yeah. Well documented.
Yeah.
You could say. But Hoddle came back to England in the early 90s and found himself in charge of a struggling Swindon side. And he was
must have woken up one day thinking, how has this happened?
Yeah. Came to Fratton Park once and got a standing ovation, Hoddle. Just stood there in front of the back forward, just stroked the ball around all day.
Well, he
not all day, when the game finished, he started.
Yeah. Well, it's a very nice place, Portsmouth. allegedly.
Follow the whistle blows. I think I'll stay here for a bit. Right.
No, we're going to have to clap him off or he's not leaving.
Yeah, well, he was player manager for Swindon. So he managed to steer the club away from relegation, and then he started tinkering.
It's Nick Jarvis stuff.
Yeah. Can we? And I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but can we all agree that Glenn Hoddle was the ultimate big time Charlie?
Well, hang on a second. Yeah. Hang on a second before you tell your story. he got rid of Ozzy Ardiles' 4-4-2 formation because he was at the club previously. And bearing in mind, he's just steered this second tier side away from relegation. So he's and he's player manager. So he changes the whole thing 3-5-2 with him playing sweeper.
Lovely. Brilliant. Ultimate big time Charlie. It's amazing.
I'm not even being funny. That is magnificent behaviour.
It's great.
Who in this day and age would do that?
No one's got the balls.
That is just on that alone he should get into the demon.
The only person that would do that now is at Swindon.
Yeah, exactly. He's absolutely sensational. And in his first season doing that, they just missed out on the playoffs. And then the following season, they bloody won the playoff final with Hoddle in the side. Hoddle scored in the final. They beat Leicester in an incredible game.
Yeah, he scored the first goal, didn't he? Yeah.
Did score the first goal, yeah. But he was loved down at Swindon before he left slightly acrimoniously. But a little story, Luke.
Yeah, there's this quite famous story by a guy called Stuart James, who was an apprentice at Swindon. I think he's a football writer now. He said that like everyone was given obviously boots to clean back in those days when they were apprentices, and apparently they all drew a name out the hat. So
They used to do that, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Yeah, the young players would clean the old
and they clean the terraces as well and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. The apprentices, but apparently I think the way it worked is what he was saying was they put a name out the hat of a professional on the books and they'd have to clean their boots for a season or whatever, you know. And
because Gascoigne used to do Waddles.
No, he didn't. Famously, he didn't.
Well, no, but he was meant to. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Luke.
Did Gascoigne not do Keegan's as well?
Possibly.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, but this guy pulls out Glenn Hoddle's boots, and everyone's getting the boots after the training session from the players. And apparently, Glenn Hoddle trotted in last. And he's player manager, though.
Yeah.
Pulls out these pair of red suede boots, chucks them at this Stuart Jones guy, and goes, "Those will test you."
in the early 90s as well, when not many players had even coloured boots.
Yeah. This is what I mean. He was ahead of his time in so many different ways.
Yeah. Brilliant. Jim.
But he was big time Hoddle. But
I love that. These will test you.
Yeah.
People don't use suede boots now.
No.
I probably had them specially made.
They had those weird feeler ones. They weren't suede, but they were very lightweight. They're very odd.
But they would soak up the water, wouldn't they?
Well, that's why I've never used them, Peter.
But no. I can remember. Yeah.
You need loads of new book protector.
You would, wouldn't you?
The season before Hoddle, took over Swindon, or the season before that, maybe, hadn't they been denied promotion to the top flight for like financial irregularities or something? And then he came in.
Because their stadium wasn't good enough.
I don't know what it was. I can't remember.
But when he came in, though, they were down the bottom.
Yeah, and he took him up. Obviously, he was in the final. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely final. Incredible. I mean, unfortunately for them, Chelsea kind of came along and went, "All right, Hoddle, we'll."
I liked him at Chelsea. Well, he was a real class act.
He was a class act at Chelsea, but Swindon, were left a little bit annoyed, I think. Because Chelsea also bought his playing registration like for $50,000 or something, whereas Swindon thought they'd get at least $1 million.
Do you reckon Chelsea chucked him like a suede contract? Like, this will test you.
Pen don't work.
So he became player manager at Stamford Bridge. They reached the FA Cup final, beaten 4-0 by Manchester United. But he finished the playing side of things in 95. But I think I love that about Hoddle, because he was all about the ball control and the spraying of the passes and all that. The sweeper position was perfect for him in the latter stages of his career.
Chelsea were a mid-table team then.
Yeah, but he was such a classy player. Really was. It's just not the kind of player that English clubs produce, really.
Not a sweeper.
Certainly not a sweeper.
Don't use any sweepers.
Yeah,
whatever their type.
Well, we love a sweeper, as we know.
Mark Wright played sweeper in Italian 90, as you all know.
Yeah.
Against Holland, wasn't it?
Well, and the other games, I think.
No, not the first game.
Did not? Okay, fair enough. So he finished playing in 95. I think he brought Ruud Gullit in, and Gullit played a sweeper role for Chelsea. Hoddle was at Chelsea until he became England manager in 96, and he got England playing a 3-5-2 as well.
I quite liked England under Hoddle.
I thought England really was superb under Hoddle. Le Tournois,
it's a more innocent time, wasn't it?
Last time England won something.
See, no,
not
right.
For Glenn, England, the perils of the lay-by.
England's last major trophy.
Yeah.
Le Tournois.
After Venables messed up the Umbro Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Which we'll never forgive him for. That's why he'll never come in this Hall of Fame.
We seem to have like players that actually had positions back then. You go on the left, you go on the right.
That's very true. That's very true.
Well, now it's like, I don't know where this man plays the best.
Yeah. But it's funny actually, because that whole kind of left sided stuff and right sided, as you say, just put someone there. We'll do it. Yeah.
McManaman, fine.
Yeah.
World Cup 98 was a really good tournament for me. I really enjoyed it. I know England went out quite early, but
it doesn't feel like that, remembering back though, because the Argentina match felt like about three games.
It did.
It really was. It was like a Greek tragedy. It went on for ages. There was definitely like 60, 70 minutes of extra time in that game.
Oh, that's right. Oh, sorry, you just reminded me of something that somebody said very unfunnily at Fulham when Karagounis, he kept going down, and after about the third one, someone went, "Oh, another Greek tragedy." Funny. Yeah, cut that out, Pete.
Yeah.
Now,
Fulham funny, isn't it?
Can you remember the Romania game? England lost to a last-minute goal by Dan Pet Rescue.
Yeah.
And Graham Massari had the worst actually, England were really bad in that game.
But England went 1-0 down, I think, was it?
Moldovan, wasn't it?
Was it Moldovan, yeah. And then Michael Owen burst onto the scene
and
scored, and England were looking quite likely and looking like they might go on and win it.
But the defending for Petrescu's goal in the last minute.
Graham Massari,
basically the most unthreatening defender to ever play the game against one of the most unthreatening attacking blokes. They're just so meek looking blokes.
Yeah.
And
it went through Stephen's legs.
Yeah, and the so went down clutched in his face as well. It made it a little much worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
and then Owen hit the post again.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But then Beckham scored his first goal for England against Colombia in the game after that, the free kick.
Yes,
Jim.
But the point being,
do you enjoy
this all happened, mate.
Darren Anderson scored a good goal.
But the point being, if England didn't lose that game to Romania, I don't think they would have come second in the group and they wouldn't have played Argentina.
No, they wouldn't have done.
There you go.
There it is, you see.
And God knows Hoddle hits those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have played Croatia, and if they'd have progressed, they'd have played Germany. They definitely wouldn't have gone past that. So at no point would we have won World Cup 98, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not Hoddle's fault, you could argue.
No. But I don't know, because we would have been buoyed by the win in 86.
So. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because we'd have probably won 90 after that. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, everything would have been so different.
Euro, World Cup 94. And,
yeah. Probably still would have taken that one off.
I sum it up
so
by saying.
Basically, if it wasn't for Hoddle, we'd have won 4 World Cups in a row. Get him out.
I think it remains ifs and buts.
Yeah.
But Diamond Lights.
Yeah. And the suede boots.
You know,
those two things, you can forgive him anything. Yeah. Or nearly anything, which I'm sure we'll come to.
Very nearly anything. But you're right, England, I thought, were excellent under Hoddle. They actually passed the bloody ball well.
Mm.
When you've got people like David Batty in there, it's always going to happen.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Batty was excellent in that.
Yeah, no, he was all right. Yeah, I'm only joking. Yeah.
But he basically kicked somebody in the face, as I recall. That really
that's what you want David Batty to be doing.
Yeah.
That was against Tunisia, I think.
Yeah.
But he had a midfield of Ince, Scholes, and then Beckham came in.
And Anderton.
Anderton. Wilett was on the
wing.
Yeah. But he, of course, after the World Cup, England started slowly to their Euro 2000 campaign, and Hoddle left the post after making comments about beliefs in karma.
And
shall we just say
Hoddle's views progressed slowly as well, being as they were belonging another century.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
it's a shame for him, because one of the highlights of England in my lifetime is certainly when he made Ray Parlour visit Eileen Drury and then asked her for a short back and sides, which was
very good. So after England, he went to Southampton, he kept them in the top flight and left during a fairly decent spell.
We won't hold that against him.
Fairly decent spell at the club to go to his beloved Spurs, and he got Tottenham playing well in periods, but ultimately his time there was a little bit disappointing. They flattered to deceive, and he was eventually sacked in 03 after a poor start of the season. Then he went to Wolves for a time, left after another disappointing spell, and that was his last job in management. But since then, he set up the Glenn Hoddle Academy, which I think is very admirable.
I think he's named it after himself. Standard.
The building's made out of
suede. I'm surprised it's not the amazing Glenn Hoddle Academy.
His favourite band is suede.
But according to the website, the Glenn Hoddle.
The slogan should be "This'll test you."
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, very good. Well, according to the website, the Glenn Hoddle Academy is a leading independent development centre for football, helping young players to fulfil their potential through expert assessment and coaching. And it offers a second chance to talented young footballers released by clubs to enable them to make their future in the professional game. And it is actually a pretty good thing he's done there. It's in southern Spain, and as it says from that description, you know, players who have been released from their contracts who are in their mid to late teens, they've got nowhere to go, or they try and get into clubs and they think, well, you've been released. Mm. And Hoddle hoovers those players up and says, you know, players who are 17, 18 or whatever still have potential to fulfil. And he says, you know, if you work with those players, actually you can get them back into the game. Mm. And they have done on a number of occasions. Okay, maybe not Premier League sort of standard, but still in a professional capacity. And he said, you know, help the kids, you know, reach their dreams, Pete.
Yeah, reach for that rainbow.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, isn't it?
That's good for it. Yeah, it's great.
Let's have a little bit of thumbs up.
And Glenn Hodder was unquestionably one of the most talented players England have produced. Mm. And he deserves his place in here on that alone.
Well, that's what we're going to end it on. Ladies and gentlemen, Glenn Hoddle, coming into the Winner Football Fund. Well done, Glenn. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. The first one of 2013.
Jim, the highest year on record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. New one, new record.
Yeah.
Broken it
again.
Well done, Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, some good stuff on there at the moment, actually. I found a video of Harry Redknapp having quite an angry exchange with some West Ham fans back in the day.
Okay, excellent.
Talking about how much he rates Frank Lampard, while Frank Lampard sat there and saw a load of other fans slag him off.
Oh yeah, but actually Redknapp.
Yeah, Redknapp comes out of it from my credit. Yeah. But the jewel in the crown this week is unquestionably a 14-year-old Clarence Seedorf on Dutch Family Fortune. Or get yourself on there, thefootballramble.com. Spoiler, he wins a TV. And he looks about 30 when he's 14. In fact, it looks like Clarence Seedorf now with an afro wig on.
Schmucking.
I'm sold. Jim, you got anything to say?
No.
Pete?
Happy New Year.
There you go. All right, we'll say goodbye then. Jim?
Bye.
Pete?
Bye.
Luke?
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Go happy fuck yourself.
Yay!
The New Year.
The return.
There's absolutely no way.
last Christmas and gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away.
Easier to save me from tears, I give it to someone special.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.